Well, this message is probably going to be a disappointment to some people, because we've got those who think that in some way man can approve what God disapproves, and that is evidenced by those things that we find in judicial bodies, legislative bodies, and yes, even in some systems of religious activity. But understand this, can't do it. Man cannot approve what God disapproves. I don't care what kind of spin you try to put on it. I don't care how you try to reword it. Man cannot approve what God disapproves. That means not only can an individual not approve what God disapproves, but it also means that no state legislative body, no city legislative body, no court of law can approve what God disapproves. Oh, you may put your stamp of approval on it, from a judicial or legislative point of view, but you'll never get it there from a spiritual point of view, and that's really the only thing that counts, isn't it? At the end of the day, the bottom line is, does God approve or does God disapprove? Does God approve of what I said, the way I acted, what I did, how I reacted, or did he not? Did God approve of what the court did? Did God approve of what the state legislative body did? Did God approve of what the Supreme Court did? You see, all of that plays into this. Stop and think. And you say to yourself, man cannot approve what God disproves. Now, you go ahead and open your Bible to Romans chapter 1. In a few moments, we're going to begin with verse 16. And hopefully we'll cover through verse 32. But understand this, going into it, no elected body can approve that which God disapproves. Man cannot approve that which God disapproves. And one of the characteristics, one reason I'm pressing this so hard today, one of the characteristics of the spirit of Antichrist, notice I didn't say the Antichrist, I said the spirit of Antichrist. One of the characteristics of the spirit of Antichrist is to attempt to make wrong look right and right look wrong. Did you get that? You're looking at it every day, folks. You're looking at it every day of the world. You have to understand this. Do you realize that every elected official is either a child of God or a child of the devil? Do you realize that? At every level, whatever the level may be, from the lowest level, from the lowest elective position in the country, in the nation, in the nations of the world, in the lowest elected position, that individual is either a child of God or a child of the devil. But then you split it over to humanity. Do you realize that all of humanity, in every tribe, every tongue, every nation of the world, is either a child of God or a child of Satan? Do you realize that the people you work with, every single last one of them, in the office, in the workplace, is either a child of God or a child of Satan? Do you realize that everybody in your neighborhood, every single person in your neighborhood, is either a child of God or a child of Satan? And you see, one reason this is important is you have to understand that Satan wants to get his representatives in office. He wants to get them into the highest office he can get them. Why? Because he wants to use them to influence legislation. One of the characteristics of the spirit of Antichrist is to attempt to make wrong look right and right look wrong. You've got to understand that. So, and that's explained, incidentally, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. In speaking of the spirit of Antichrist and the Antichrist, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Do you understand that verse? Do you understand what you're hearing there? Speaking of Antichrist, the Antichrist himself. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. working at every level of every nation in the world. The spirit of Antichrist. Now, eventually, that individual that we know as the Antichrist will come into a position of power and authority. Revelation chapter 13. And he will control. He will be the one in charge of what is going on in the nations of the world. And that's what Daniel 7:25 is speaking of. Once this individual comes into power, has ultimate power, is that position of power and authority over the nations of the world, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints. How can he persecute the saints if they're not here? If they had been raptured, he couldn't persecute them, could he? No, the word says he shall persecute the saints. That means the saints are here. That means the church has not been raptured. That means that the church is going to come under persecution by the Antichrist. Once again, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change laws and times. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. And that is normally interpreted to be 3.5 years. Bottom line, he tries to make right look wrong and wrong look right. And I assume that you understand, once again, that the spirit of Antichrist is at work in the nations of the world even as I speak. He has been for centuries. Satan's goal, world dominion. Just that simple. World dominion. I'm watching some slight, simple changes. We call them simple. I'm watching some little small things happening in this nation. And I look at the nations of the world, and I know why it's being slowly but surely implemented. It's being done so that eventually there can be a consolidation of power, and that consolidation of power will come to agreement under a one world order. I understand that because this is what the Word of God teaches us. Now, I've said all that to pay attention to what I'm going to teach today. I'm in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 16. But understand this. Everything in the Word of God is to be embraced, to be believed, to be received, and to be acted upon. Now, in Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." You say, "Bob, what in the world has that got to do with the way you opened this message?" You opened this message talking about the end times. What does that verse have to do with end times? Watch it carefully. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He says, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not intimidated." Are you intimidated? You see, in these days, in the hours, in these days, we need a church that knows who she is, understands who she is, who is enabled and empowered by the power of the Spirit of God. You cannot be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit when you are quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit day after day. When you're walking around with unconfessed sin in your life, you just nullified your prayer power. Say, "Bob, you're getting legalistic." No, I'm not. Word of God says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart," in other words, if I know that I've got sin in my life, I'm not facing it, I'm not confessing it, I'm not repenting of it, I nullify my prayer life. I nullify my prayer life. God is not going to hear my prayers. What I'm saying to you, dear hearts, is each of us, as a child of God, need to keep the sin list in our life short. I keep saying it. Keep the sin list short. How do you keep the sin list short? You recognize sin for what it is. And when you've committed sin, in the thought life, in the speech, in the attitudes, in the actions, anything that speaks of sin, you acknowledge it and you confess it. It doesn't take, you have to, you don't have to slip off somewhere and get alone and crawl into a corner and weep and groan and moan and cry. You can just say, Lord, that was sin. That thought was not Christ-like. That attitude was not Christ-like. That action was not Christ-like. That reaction was not Christ-like. You say, Bob, I hear you keep saying this. Why? Because most of the church didn't have ears to hear. Folks, I've been at this a while. I've preached in different denominations. I've preached in different churches, different sizes. I've done it overseas. I've done it here in this nation. I've done it in other nations. I'm here to say to you, a great deal of the church does not have ears to hear. And a great deal of the church does not understand the signs of the times which we're living. And a great deal of the church is not giving itself to repentance and intercessory prayer. And that's what we need. But why? Why is so much of the church silent? Why is so much of the church unwilling to be salt? Unwilling to be light? Unwilling to take salt into the marketplace? Light into the marketplace. Why is so much of the church, the bride of Christ, at least those who profess Christ, why is it that so many are unwilling to be light and to be salt in the office, even in the family, in the shopping center, wherever they may go? Why are they so unwilling to be salt and to be light? Could it be they're ashamed? Could it be that they are ashamed? Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. It is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, not just everyone who professes, but everyone who believes. There's a world of difference between professing Christ and believing Christ. There's a world of difference professing to be a Christian and being a Christian. No, you only become a Christian, friend, when you have died to self, born again, recognize yourself as a sinner without Christ, one heartbeat from hell, and you go before the throne of God as a sinner. Not as a believer in some religious expression, but as a sinner, saying, Lord God Almighty, I'm a sinner, Jesus. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I am a sinner. I am sinning. And confess you're a sinner. And ask Christ Jesus in childlike faith, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. For it is the power of God, Paul goes on. For it is the power of God, he says once again, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For those who receive, for those who are willing to receive the gospel, for those who believe the gospel, it is the power of God for salvation. What does that mean? The power of God for salvation. It means that it has the power to convict and to convince. It is the word of God activated by the Spirit of God that convicts you of the sin in your life before you got saved so that you can be saved. And then it is the Spirit of God that convicts you of sin after you're saved so that you can confess the sin, so that you can be Spirit-led, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-filled, and you can be a witness and you can be a power for the kingdom of God. It is the power of God. It's what the Word of God says. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, everyone who receives, whoever believes, it has the power. Listen to me carefully. It has the power to convert the most hardened, critical sinner in the world. And it has done that. It has done that in the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. I mean hardened. Hardened. Sleeping with harlots, cursing, drinking, gambling, every expression of sin you can name, involved in every expression of sin that you can name, and yet the power of God, by the convicting, illuminating power of the Holy Spirit of God, somehow, some way, somebody gave a testimony. Somebody gave a witness. Somebody was willing to take the time to invest in that other life with the gospel and explain what Christ had done for them and what Christ will do for you. Somebody took the time to be that witness, to be that testimony, to be that light, to be that salt. And because of that, that person was converted because of the Word of God. Here again, it has the power to convert the most hardened, critical sinner. I don't care how long you've been in sodomy. I don't care how long you've been in adultery. I don't care how long you've been in gambling and lying and cheating and stealing and thieving and whatever your expression of sin may be, transgenderism, whatever it may be, whatever you've been involved in for a lifetime, for any number of years, the power of God, the gospel, can penetrate that darkness. The Spirit of God can penetrate that darkness. For those who are willing to be willing, did you hear me? For those who are willing to be born again, it will penetrate the hardness of the heart. It will penetrate the deception of the heart. It will penetrate that darkness and the deception in the life and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. It has the power, once again, to convert the most hardened, critical sinners to a life of joy and peace with God, a life of service to God. It has no lack. There's no lack of people who need Christ. Did you hear me? There is no lack of people who need Christ at every expression of life. It grieves me, and I pray it. I realize, as I told you going into this message, every member of the Supreme Court, every member of the judicial body of this nation, every member of the Senate, the House, every member of every pulpit, every member of every religious system, every human being in the world is either a child of God or a child of the devil. And if they're a child of the devil, the works of the devil they will do. That's what they'll approve of. You see, a child of the devil will approve of that which Satan approves of. A child of God will approve of that which God approves of. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? But we find these different expressions in every expression of life. We find those who are the children of the devil. We find those who are the children of God. We find them at every expression of life in the nation. Not only that, we find them in every expression of life in the world. You wonder why the world is in the mess that it's in? Look at where we are. Look at what so many nations have embraced. And let me say this to you. You are watching very small incremental steps right now in your lifetime. Exercises of power and control and authority that eventually is going to, at some point in time in the future, that's in the hands of the church. It is up to the church to remain repentant. It is up to the church to hold back the spirit of Antichrist. It is up to the church to hold back the government of the Antichrist. How does the church do that? Through godly, holy, separated living and intercessory prayer. By being salt and being light. By being that ambassador for Christ. Being that believer priest for Christ. That's how it's done. It's not done through just going into the church on Sunday morning and lifting a hand or two and singing a song or two and listening partially to a message, then walking out and saying, okay, I'm a member of the church. That makes me good because I joined the church. That means I'm good for eternity. Wrong. You're not good for eternity until you've been born again, friend. All the religious activity in the world will not get you into heaven. No, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. But we find, understand this once again now, the entire world, every nation in the world is made up of people who are either candidates for heaven or candidate for hell. That's simple. It's that simple. Romans 1:17. For in it, what? The gospel. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do you get that? For in it, the word of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is the word of God that reveals the attributes of God. Did you get that? It is the word of God, the Bible, that reveals the attributes of God. Reveals what God is like. reveals what God approves, what God disapproves. Man can put his stamp of approval on that which God disapproves, but that does not make it right with God. And God's the one that counts. It is his approval or disapproval that counts, not what some legislative body, not what some religious system approves or disapproves. No, no, no. It is what God approves. What God approves or God disapproves. But it's the Word. It's the Word of God that reveals the attributes of God. It is the Word of God that teaches you about his love. For God so loved the world and every single individual in it, of every nation, every tongue, every race, every type. God so loved the world and every sinner in it, that he gave his only begotten Son, one of a kind, never one like him before, never one like him again, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not die, should not perish, should not suffer eternal condemnation, should not die, but have eternal life. God loves, and God loves every human being. God hates sin. God hates every sin. There's no such thing as a small sin and a big sin and an in-between sin. God hates sin in every expression of every type from any source. God hates sin. One of the reasons that God hates sin so much, it was sin that nailed Christ to the cross. It was sin that nailed Christ to the cross. It was for sin that he went to the cross so he could take my sin upon himself. And he could take the sins of anyone and everyone who would believe in him. He took those sins to himself. And he put those sins to death in himself. And that is why Satan hates the cross. He hates the cross. He hates the message of the cross. He does not want the message of the cross to penetrate the darkness and the hardness and the sinfulness of mankind, because he wants to keep them in darkness. He wants to keep them in deception. And that's why he has penetrated religious system after religious system after religious system, in order to keep them in darkness and keep them in deception, so that with the last heartbeat, they'll go to hell. Be sealed in hell forever as his own. But it is the Word of God. Once again, it is the Word of God. You need to get into the Word of God. You want to understand God? You want to understand God? Get in the Word of God. You want to understand God? What God approves of, what God disapproves of, you want to understand God? Get in the Word of God. It is the Word of God that expresses his love, that he became flesh. And on that cross, he became everything that he hated. He took upon himself every sin I ever committed, and every sin I will ever commit. As I confess that sin, the sin is taken off me, put it on Jesus, is put to death in Christ Jesus, and what's true of me is true of you. There's only two places, friend, in all the world for your sin. One is on you, the other is on Jesus. And if it's not confessed, it's on you. It's not on Jesus. But then, the only people who can replace their sins on Jesus are those who have been born again. You must be born again. Baptism doesn't get it done. Joining the church doesn't get it done. Joining a religious organization doesn't get it done. No, you must be born again. You have to become a new creation. But it is the love of God. Love of him and who he is and all he is. Love of him and his omniscience. Omniscience, his knowing, all knowing. He's never learned anything new. You never did anything that surprised him. You never said anything that surprised him. You never thought anything that surprised him. Why? Because he's omniscient. He knew before the foundation of the world what you were going to be, what you were going to say, what you were going to do, what you're going to become. He knew that before the foundation of the world, to whom you would be born, and when you would be born, and at what time of day you'd be born. He knew. Omniscience, and then his omnipresence. You can't go anywhere where he's not. He is omnipresent. In this world today, he is everywhere present. His omnipotence, his omnipresence, his everywhere present, all knowledge, all power, he has it all. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. His omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, power. It's all there. It's all. And you, if you are born again, listen to me carefully. If you are born again, you have access to that. You have access to that as an ambassador for Christ, as a believer priest. You have access to all that he is. Did you hear me? Look, folks, I'm just teaching you the Word of God. This is the Word of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. It's a process. Yes, the moment you're born again, you become a new creation. You're adopted into the family of God. Then you've got to come through the stages of sanctification. And as you come through the stages of sanctification, and each and every one of us are still getting surprises at times. Let me slow down just a minute. I get surprised from time to time. I get surprised at a way I could respond if I didn't check myself. A way I could react if I didn't check myself. And sometimes I didn't check myself. Sometimes I don't check myself. And I find, wait a minute, that attitude was wrong. That response was wrong. That motive, hello. That motive was wrong. I did that for the wrong reason. It may have looked right on the outside, and it may have looked right in the situation and the circumstance in which it was done, but the motive was wrong. My motive for doing that, my motive for saying that, my motive for being that was wrong. Then do you kill that? Because you see, slow down, listen to me. When that happens in your life, you need to slow down a moment and say, Father, that motive was wrong. That response was wrong, but my motive was wrong. My motive in saying what I said, my motive in doing what I did, my motive in suggesting what I suggested was wrong. And then you need to confess that as sin. And then going forward, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit, quicken me, make me sensitive to my motives. Anytime I am involved in something and I'm thinking something or saying something or doing something that has the wrong motive in it, quicken that to me. Let me acknowledge that as a trait of my personality. Let me recognize that that is a part of me that has not yet been fully sanctified, has not been fully established in Christ Jesus. We're working on it, but you see, you can't work on it till you recognize it. What do I mean by work on it? Recognize the reality of what's in your life. Recognize the reality and take it to the Lord in prayer. Be honest and open with God. He knows anyway. He already knows everything in your life. He knows every ungodly, unholy motive you have. He knows every ungodly, unholy thought you have. He knows about every attitude you develop. Why not go to Him and confess it? That was wrong, Lord. I was wrong. Folks, keep your sin list short. I keep saying that to you because it is unconfessed sin in your life and unconfessed sin in my life that will block your prayer life, that will block my prayer life, and I need prayer power. Hear me. You need prayer power. The church needs prayer power. And it's the unconfessed sin in our lives, whether it's in the pulpit, in the choir, in the Sunday school class, in the Bible class, whatever the position may be, it is unconfessed sin in the life that is robbing us of power, robbing us of prayer power. You don't have to be with a group of people to get prayer power, friend. You can go in your prayer closet. You can shut the door. You can get alone with God, whether you're standing, sitting, kneeling, whatever position you may be in. You can say, Lord God, here I am. I'm your child. I'm a believer priest. I'm an ambassador. I'm a soldier of the cross. And I'm coming into your presence on behalf of. And then name the things for which you're coming into his presence. Take the Supreme Court before him. Take the Congress before him. Take the Senate before him. Take the states and their governments before him. Take the governors before him. Take the nations and take the religious systems of the world before him. Take the religious systems of the world before him and ask him to penetrate the darkness and the deception in those systems of religion that are misleading people and leading people astray. Take it before the throne of God in intercessory prayer. Listen to me. God has turned, once again, God has turned all of his work over to the church. It's on us. We have to do it or it won't get done. And God permits what the church permits. God permits, for the most part, what the church permits, and I've said this how many times, but how many people listen to this but don't hear it? They listen, but they don't hear it. God permits what the church permits, and the church has permitted too much, and the church is permitting too much, and Satan is, I'm telling you once again, folks, incrementally, if it takes years or takes centuries, whatever it may be, Satan is shooting for a one world order, and he's going to get it. The Word of God makes it clear that he will eventually get a one world order, but he can't get the one world order until the church allows him to do so. We, the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God, we are that which stands in his way. And that's why he tries to neutralize you. He wants you neutralized as a child of God. He wants you with unconfessed sin in your life. He doesn't want you to know who you are. He doesn't want you to understand what you are, all that you are. He wants to neutralize your prayer power. An unconfessed sin in the life will help neutralize your prayer power. Unbelief. Unbelief. What do you really believe? What do you really, truly believe? Do you really understand that God is omniscient? Omnipresent? Omnipotence? Do you understand that? There's nowhere where he's not. He has all power. He has all authority. You, as a believer priest, have access to that power and that authority. If you keep the sin list short, if you keep the sin list short, you can access the power of God. And you can call down the power of God on Washington, D.C. You can call down the power of God on the White House, the Senate, the House. You can call down the power of God on any situation, any circumstance in the world today. Most of you don't believe that, do you? Then you don't believe the Word of God. So if you don't believe the Word of God, what makes you think you've been born again? Didn't you base what you say you believe on the Word of God? Do you believe that Christ Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was born of a virgin? Do you believe he lived a sinless life? Do you believe he went to the cross as God's sacrifice for my sin and your sin? Do you believe that on that cross he took upon himself the sin of every sinner who ever sinned? That on that cross he took upon himself the sin of the sodomite, the homosexual? Do you understand he took on himself the sin of every type you can name? Every single solitary sin you can name. Be it a thief, a murderer, a liar, whatever it may be, an adulteress, fornication, whatever. Upon himself, the sins of everyone who believed. And he put those sins to death in himself. In Matthew 10:30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's how well he knows you. Did you hear that? I want you to understand, God knows you. Listen to me. You say, well, I'm so insignificant, Bob. No, you're not. No, you're not insignificant, Bob. Listen, if you were so insignificant, why would Satan be trying so hard to steal your soul? And if you're so insignificant, why would Satan be trying to compromise your walk with the Lord? And if you are so insignificant, why would Satan be trying to feed your mind with lies every day of the world? Why would he try to make you doubt the Word of God? Why would he try to make you doubt your position as a believer priest? Why would he try to make you doubt what God's Word says? Why would he try to make you doubt your position in Christ Jesus? If that were the case. But Satan knows. Satan knows that you as a believer priest, you're a threat to him. Do you understand this? Listen to me, timid Christian. You as a believer priest are a threat to hell. If you have been born again, you are indwelt by the creative power of the universe. The problem is that too many times we quench and grieve the creative power of the universe who indwells us through our unconfessed sin. We won't recognize that attitude of sin. We won't recognize that action of sin, that reaction of sin. We won't recognize that thought process, that thought. And listen, when you take the time to really analyze why you do what you do, the motives, what was my motive in responding like that? What was my motive in reacting like that? What was my motive? What was my motive when I did what I did? Understand this. Christ knows our thought life. He knows your thought life. He understands why you think what you think. He knows the thoughts that you embrace. He knows the thoughts that you reject. He knows our thought life. And that's why the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's the Word of God, folks. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. speaks to me, speaks to you. He's speaking to the church. Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to the church in Corinth there. He's speaking to the church today. What do I mean by church? Those blood bought, those blood washed, those who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Well, listen to it again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that Satan suggests to your mind. That's why we're told to take every thought captive. Because Satan is constantly, consistently trying to infiltrate your thought life. He's trying to impregnate your thought life with his thoughts. He wants to impregnate your thinking with his thinking and make you doubt God and doubt God's word and doubt who you are and who you can be in Christ Jesus. And that's why the word of God says. Paul says the word of God, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How many times a day do we have a thought that we stop and say to ourselves, that was not Christ-like? Christ would not approve of that thought. You see, it is by bringing every thought captive that we're successful in casting down arguments. We have to take that lying thought from Satan captive. That suggestion to the mind from Satan. We take it captive. You have to be actively involved in processing what's going on through your mind. You've got to be actively involved in casting down imaginations. He is going to flood your soul, flood your thinking with imaginations that are contrary to the character of Christ, contrary to the Word of God, and you have to take them captive. Those thoughts, those suggestions to the mind that militate against the Word of God in Europe, against it every day of the world. He wants you to doubt the Word of God. He wants you to disbelieve the Word of God. He does not want you to embrace the Word of God. He does not want you to believe the Word of God, receive the Word of God, act on the Word of God, stand on the Word of God, live the Word of God, quote the Word of God. He does not want you doing that because he knows when you do, he loses. Hear me, child of God. You're a threat to hell when you know who you are in Christ. You are a threat to hell when you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you take your rightful place in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. And you say, bring on all hell. I'm going to keep my sin list short. I'm going to keep my sins confessed up to date. I am going to be salt. I'm going to be light. I'm not going to let the salt get watered down. I'm not going to let the light go dim. I'm going to be salt. I'm going to be light. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to stand for what God stands for. And I'm going to stand against what God stands against. I don't care what it is or where it is. I'm going to stand for what God stands for. And I'm going to stand against what Satan stands for. Oh, child of God, understand who you are. And the thought life. Those suggestions. Day by day, Satan is going to bring suggestions to the mind that militate against the Word of God. He does not want you to believe the Word of God. He does not want you to believe the Word of God. He wants you to doubt the Word of God. He wants you to ignore the Word of God. He wants you to disbelieve. Why do you think he works so hard to keep you out of the Word of God? Huh? Why do you think he works so hard to keep you out of the Word of God? You will sit down with the Word of God. First thing, your mind goes here, your mind goes there. I better go do this, I better go do that. You're going to set aside a time to get alone with God. The next thing you know, your mind is being flooded with things you need to do, things you need to say, things you need to act on. Satan's against it. Those suggestions to the mind, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Understand this. Anything and everything that in any degree, to any degree, hear me carefully, listen to me, anything and everything that to any degree opposes God and his word is satanic. It's from Satan. Anything and everything that to any degree whatever opposes the God and the Word of God is from Satan. And understand this. Taking every thought captive is often a moment-by-moment exercise. At times, it is a moment-by-moment exercise from the time you get up in the morning. Am I going to receive that thought? Am I going to reject that? You say, Bob, I can't live that life. Yes, you can. When you're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, because you see, it is the Holy Spirit that will enable you and empower you to obey the Word of God. Did you hear me? It is the Holy Spirit of God that will enable you and empower you to obey the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Once again, anything and everything that to any degree whatever opposes God and His Word is born in hell. It's birthed by Satan. And understand this. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. I live it every day. I'm not saying one thing to you that I don't say to myself. I have to face this every day of the world myself. How many times do I have to check myself? That thought's not of God. That reaction is not of God. Hold it. Hold it, Martin. Back up, Martin. That thought's not of God. Don't receive that thought. That response is not of God. That reaction is not of God. Back up, Martin. Get before the thought of God. Go before your Heavenly Father and resist the thought. What's the Word of God say? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Submit, resist. Submit, resist. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I didn't write it. I'm just teaching it. It's what the Word of God says. Word of God says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. And you see, it's a day by day. And many times it's a moment by moment. But you know what it really boils down to? It's a daily exercise of submission. Did you hear me? Daily exercise of submission. Submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the life. Saying, Lord, it's more than a word. It's more than a song. It's more than a hymn. It has to be reality. Christ Jesus has to become that reality in your life. It has to be a daily exercise of submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, acknowledging Him for who He is, acknowledging Him for all He is, acknowledging who you are for what you are, and all that you ought not to be, and what you are that you ought not to be, and what you're a part of that you ought not to be a part of, and what you're thinking that you ought not to think, and take it before Him. Take it to Him, day by day. It is a daily, daily exercise of submission. It's a daily exercise of having the Lordship of Jesus Christ manifesting in your life. You see, every day of the world, you need to get out of bed saying, Lord, be Lord of my life. I submit and surrender. I submit and surrender before I even put my shoes on. Before I go get my cup of coffee, I submit and I surrender to you, Lord Jesus. Be Lord of my life. And it's a daily resistance. It's a daily resistance to the satanic influence in the life. Folks, it's a battle. Day by day, it is a spiritual battle. It's a daily resistance to everything Satan is trying to inject into your life, influence your life. And some days, as I said a moment ago, I say it again. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. Someday it's a moment by moment as the battle rages. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a moment by moment as the battle rages. What's the battle for? Control of the mind. Control of the mind. Control of the attitudes. Control of the life. That's what Satan wants. Let's go back to Romans 1 again for a moment. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress truth in righteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and ungodliness of men. Understand this, child of God. God does not ignore sin of any kind at any level of life. God does not ignore sin of any kind at any level of life. God does not ignore sin in any expression of the life. Did you hear me? God does not ignore sin in any expression of life, even in traffic. Oh, that got you, didn't it? He does not ignore sin in any expression of life. He's sensitive. His children, you need to be sensitive to sin. That thought's wrong. That attitude's wrong. That reaction, whatever it may be. He will, in his own way, in his own timing, deal with sin. Child of God, listen to me. God will, as your Heavenly Father, He will, in his own way, in his own timing, deal with sin, which is why you want to keep your sin list short. How do you keep your sin list short? By acknowledging the sin, admitting the sin, confessing the sin. There's only one or two places in all the universe for your sin. One is on you, one is on Jesus. Until you acknowledge the sin and confess the sin, it's on you. But once you, if you're born again, once you acknowledge the sin and confess the sin, it's on Jesus. But he will in his own way, if you don't acknowledge the sin and deal with it, in his own way, in his own timing, he will deal with that sin. And this is true in every expression of life. He has in the past. Read the Word of God. He's done in the past. He'll do it in the future. Look at that in another version, Romans 1:18. For God does not overlook sin, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness suppress and stifle the truth. God is opposed to sin of any type at any level of life. God does not wink at sin. Understand that. God does not wink at sin. God does not wink at sin of any type at any level of life. Romans 1:19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. All of creation declares that God is. Did you hear me? All of creation declares that God is. Man in his conscience, even before he's born again, knows that God is. A reasonable, rational man can look at creation and know that God is. Let me say that to you again slowly. A reasonable, rational man can look at creation and know that God is, and will do so. He will do so. He will know that God is until he is satanically deceived. Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They're corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none who does good. Let me say this to you. An accumulation of degrees and academic recognition does not negate Scripture. Hear me. Hear me carefully. An accumulation of degrees, academic recognition. I don't care whether it's from a secular school or a Bible school, wherever it may be, does not negate Scripture. Psalms 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Do you understand all that God is? Do you understand that there's an eternity in front of you? Do you understand that God is, God exists, and that you're facing an eternity when you die? Death is the entrance into eternity. You have to go through the doorway of death to get into eternity. And once you're in eternity, once you enter eternity, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's finished. Contrary to what some expressions of religion teach, no, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Once eternal life is sealed for eternity at death, listen to me carefully. And I realize I'm swimming upstream from some doctrine and some other expressions of religion. I didn't say the word body of Christ. I said religion. You have to understand, once eternity is entered, it's a wrap. It's finished. It's over. There's no second chance. One's eternal life is sealed for eternity, and it's either heaven or hell.
There is no other alternative. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, all of creation speaks of his existence, of his omniscience, his omnipotence. All of creation speaks of all of that. Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In another version, for even though they knew God as the Creator, they did not honor him as God or give thanks for his wondrous creation. On the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking, godless with pointless reasonings and silly speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In light of creation, they could not deny the existence of the creative power. That has never been a shortage of fools in the world, folks. There has never been a shortage of fools, and the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's never been a shortage in the past or in the present. With the last heartbeat, there will no longer be a question. With the last heartbeat, there will no longer be a question. All will be reality for all of eternity. Romans 1:22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You see, in their self-deception, they reveal themselves to be fools. Romans 1:23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In their ignorance and denial of truth and reality, they sought to create an image that they could worship. And that's where all the false images came from. And folks, it's not limited just to beasts, no. We have those religious expressions that have images of human beings of the past that they worship. They kneel before them and they bow before them. They sought to create an image which they could worship of some life form. They wanted some life form that they could worship. Romans 1:24. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. To say that God gave them up says it all, does it not? To say that God gave them up says it all. God gave them up to the expression of their wickedness. He said, you want to express that wickedness? You want to live that lifestyle? You can have it. He gave them up to it, however they chose. You see, you have to make a choice. It's either God or Satan, one or the other. Romans 1:25. Who exchanged the truth of God, these are the ones he gave up, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let me read that in another version. Because by the choice they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They twisted the word of God, and they worshiped that which they created, rather than one who created all things. That speaks volumes about bowing or kneeling before statues. Now, the practice of Catholic nuns in Cavite, Philippines. When I was at the retreat centers in Cavite in the Philippines, I watched Catholic nuns come out of the Catholic retreat center and kneel and bow before an image of Mary. Romans 1:26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. One deception led to a greater deception. One deception led to another deception, and a greater deception, which led to lesbianism. That's how we got lesbianism. That's how we got homosexuality. Likewise, Romans 1:27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burdened in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Homosexuality is a sin described in that passage. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which were not fitting. Inasmuch as they did not choose to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to commit the ungodly. Now we start wrapping it up with Romans 1:29 through 1:32. Being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, self-mindedness, they're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. No, hear me as I close this, no legislative body, judicial body, nor religious body can place their stamp of approval on that which God disapproves. And to try to do so is to spit in the face of God and then to suffer the consequences. Father, there it is as you gave it to me. I submit it to you, Holy Spirit, to use among the people as you will. I leave it with you. I leave it with them. And I thank you for the privilege of stating your mind, your heart, your will. I thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us today on Challenge. Until we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.